Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. If you've never attended in person, we'd love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 or 11:05 at 3105 Hampton Highway in Yorktown, Virginia. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Awesome. So good to see you guys. My name is Rob. I'm one of the pastors at Next Level Church. And if this is your first time with us, I want to say welcome to you. Hope that that God moves and gives you what you're looking for today. But if this is your first time, I want you to know that we want to help take the talk or the sermon to the next level for you. And we do that by partnering with an app. It is a free app that you can download. The steps are up on the screen. It is called YouVersion. It's a great app that you can use, and I hope you're using throughout the week. You can download devotionals. You can read your Bible through it. And with YouVersion in our service, we actually have a question of the week. All the scriptures that I'm going to go over in the talk are in there, as well as some great articles that go along with what we're talking about today. So if you're a regular attender, go ahead and open up YouVersion on your smartphone or tablet. If you're new, those are the steps you can follow along ahead. Well, today, I don't know how you feel about the news. I don't know if you're a news junkie. I don't know if you watch the news. For me personally, I try to stay away from the news, and the reason is because the news is just depressing. I don't watch the news and find a lot of stories of hope or a lot of stories of great things going on. It is always one bad thing after another, and after watching the news, I just kind of feel down, and so I try to avoid watching the news. I like watching things like SportsCenter. That makes me feel good about life. It makes me not see all the bad that's going on, but I have started paying a little bit of attention to the news, and the reason is because a few months ago, my wife told me about a website called The Skim, S-K-I-M-M, and it is a website that will email to you the news, and what it does is it's a group of people that get together, and they read all the news and get all the big news stories, and then they send it to you, and so basically when you're reading it, you're just skimming the news, but they do this in a creative way and in a very fun way, and so I found myself really liking getting this email update. I get it every morning, and I read it, and a lot of times I laugh and I enjoy it, and there's some great quotes in there, but as long as I'm reading it, I'm also hearing about a lot of the bad stuff that's going on in this world. In fact, maybe if you are like me and you don't pay attention to the news, you don't know some of the things that are going on. And so I just wanted to just talk about a few of the things going on in our world right now. I don't know if you followed it or not, but there is chaos going on in Ferguson, Missouri. I don't know if you followed this or not, but there is an 18-year-old kid named Mike Brown. He was gunned down, and no one knows exactly what happened. There are conflicting reports. There are people on every side of the issue. What you need to know is that right now there are all sorts of looting and rioting, and if you follow this trend, if you go to Twitter and click on the link, the hashtag for Ferguson, Missouri, it looks like a war zone in Missouri. It is crazy what's going on there. And as I'm reading about it and reading about the different sides of it and reading about everything that's going on, I just can't help but feel a little bit hopeless. There doesn't seem to be an answer to this problem, and I don't know if it's going to end anytime soon. Maybe something that has not been on your radar as much is the issue that's going on in the Ukraine. Right now, Ukraine is battling with Russia, and Russia has come in, and maybe this got on your radar a few weeks ago because there was a Malaysian airline that was shot down and crashed. And it was shot down, and the Ukrainians are blaming the Russians, and the Russians are blaming the Ukrainians. But all that happened because they are fighting with each other, and it is a mess right now. In fact, I really became aware of it through The Skim, but then even further, I became aware of it because there's a blogger friend that I have that is actually a missionary in the Ukraine, and he's been writing about his experience, and specifically, he's been asking the church and asking Christians to pray because he is living it and experiencing it. And if you're following along in YouVersion, there is a link to one of his blog posts that at the end of it, it lists some ways that you can pray for this awful situation that's going on in the Ukraine between the Ukrainians and the Russians. I don't know if you guys have been following the news or not, but if you were here last week, I mentioned during the talk about some of the crisis that's going on in Iraq. Right now, tens of thousands of people are fleeing for their lives because of a terrorist group called ISIS. And this group is so awful that the Taliban has actually rejected them. They are too bad for the Taliban, if that tells you anything. And this group has attacked and are attacking Christians. And tens of thousands of people are fleeing for their lives. But some of the grotesque things that they're doing is they're actually beheading children. And this is going on in our world today, experiencing it. And maybe you don't read the news, and so maybe you don't know this is going on, but whenever I read about this stuff, I just feel so hopeless. I just feel like, is there any answer to this? Is there any way to solve this problem? If there's no doubt in my mind, just based off Facebook, that even if you didn't pay attention to the news, you saw that this week we lost an actor that was very beloved. His name is Robin Williams. And Robin Williams was in a lot of great films that a lot of us love, and we really respected his films and liked his acting, but it came out that he didn't just pass away. He died at the age of 63 by committing suicide, and that has led to a whole bunch of opinions on depression and on suicide, and it has just, it's flooded the internet with people having opinions and saying things. And I don't know about you, but I just read this situation and I felt hopeless. Here's a guy that has brought so much joy and so much entertainment to our world, and yet he lacked hope. And so I'm reading these stories and seeing these stories, and this is just one week in the life of our world. And I often get done reading this stuff and I just feel like, okay, God, where are you? Where is the hope? In this world today, maybe there's a chance that you are here today and you're also struggling with something. There's a great chance that you don't even have time to worry about the problems of the world because you're dealing with situations on your own. Everywhere I look, I constantly get weekly emails from people who are struggling, who have no hope. I constantly am reading stories about people in our area who are really struggling. It feels like there's not a lot of hope in our world, and this is a problem. And this is a problem because hope is the thing that keeps us going. Hope is the thing that can get us up in the morning, even when our day was awful. In fact, this quote I thought was very interesting. It's from Hal Lindsey. He says, "Man can live 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, about 8 minutes without air, but only 1 second without hope." A hope is the thing that allows you to take another step even when you feel like you can't go anymore. Hope is the thing that makes you feel like, okay, maybe we're going to make it. I don't know how this situation is going to end. I don't know if this problem is going to be solved, but I have just a glimmer of hope. It is something that I can hold on to. It is something that can help me. It can help me out. And if you're here today and if you're looking for hope, I hope that you find it in today's service, because I really do believe that Jesus has given us some hope. And today what I want to do is I want to show you two verses. These are two different talks from Jesus, two different things that Jesus said. And I hope that it gives every single one of us some hope. Because I think that we live in an incredibly dark world and people are looking for just a little glimmer of hope. Is there a God? Is he real? Does he have a plan? And we're going to talk about that today. And so the scriptures are going to come up on the screen. We're going to dive in John 8. Verses 12, and this is Jesus talking. You're probably familiar with Jesus. He came around over 2,000 years ago. He was a Jewish carpenter. What really made him kind of get into the news is he claimed not to just be a prophet, not to just be a guy that spoke on God's behalf, but he claimed to be the Son of God, and that upset the religious leaders so much that they actually crucified him. Even though he committed no crime and was without sin, they crucified him. Now, Jesus backed up his claim because 3 days later, he rose from the grave, and he was alive. And we believe in him. We believe that he gives us some hope. So look at what Jesus said. He says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I don't know if you caught what Jesus just said, but that gives me a little bit of hope that Jesus is the light of the world, and whoever follows him will not walk in darkness. But we need to talk about this for a little bit, because this has led to some misconceptions about who Jesus is. There are huge groups of churchgoers and Christians who feel like if you have Jesus, then your whole world will be perfect. And if you have Jesus, he'll align your finances, and if you have Jesus, you'll have great health. And they just say, look, it's right there in the text. You will not walk in darkness. But I don't think that Jesus meant that if you have him, you're never going to go through a difficult time. In fact, I'm convinced he didn't mean that. And the reason I'm convinced of it is because his best friends in the entire world, the 12 disciples that left everything to follow him, the vast majority of them were persecuted and killed for believing in Jesus. So when Jesus said, hey, if you follow me, you're not going to be in darkness, he wasn't saying that your life is going to be perfect. He wasn't saying that you're going to have financial blessings and that you're never going to catch a cold if you have Jesus. And he was not saying that if you're here today and if you struggle with things like depression, it doesn't mean that you're not a Christian. He was not saying that if you have some doubts from time to time, or if you worry about something, or if you have anxiety, or if you struggle with a sin, you're not a Christian. That's not what Jesus was saying. What Jesus was saying is that in the midst of darkness, he brings light. And when you follow Jesus, you will never be in complete darkness. Why? Because he gives you hope. You may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but you will fear no evil because Jesus is in front of you and you are following after him. He is walking you through the darkness of this world. And Jesus is that little glimmer of hope, that hope that when we have no other hope, we can say, hey, I think he has a plan and everything else around me is darkness. This entire world looks like it is just going to hell. Everything is darkness. But I found some light in Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the light of the world. And when we follow him, now this is something that's important. Jesus said, when you follow me, don't ever think that just because you go to church, that means you're following Jesus. Or just because you said some prayer when you were a little kid at Vacation Bible School or in a church service, that makes you following Jesus. No, we've got to follow Jesus. And when you follow Jesus, when you say, hey, I'm going to line my life up with you, Jesus, where you tell me to go, I'm going to go. How you tell me to spend my money, I'm going to spend my money that way. God, what you tell me to do, I'm going to do. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to follow you. And even in the midst of darkness in my world, I'm going to trust that I'm going to get through this because you are the light of the world. Jesus gives us hope. And this is a very powerful verse, but Jesus isn't done there. And I want to show you a second verse. And this is where Jesus flips the script on us. He gives us hope by saying, hey, I am the light of the world. But then he changes up his tune and he does a pick it remix. And he throws out a different take on being the light of the world. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 5, 14 through 16. He says, you are the light of the world. Let me say that again. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Did you catch what Jesus said? Jesus in his first sermon said, hey guys, guess what? I am the light of the world. Follow me, you will never be in darkness. But now he mixes things up and he throws it out there and he says, hey, guess what? You are the light of the world. Now, why are you the light of the world? Who is Jesus talking to? He's talking to those that follow him. Because if you follow Jesus, then you have the light of the world and therefore you become the light of the world. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to the church. We are the light of the world. Those that follow Jesus will never be in darkness. So we're therefore the light of the world. I love the way that the Message paraphrases this. If you're not familiar with Bible translations, maybe if you're new to the church scene, I want to explain to you how this works. There are a bunch of different translations out there for the Bible. The Bible is two sections. We have the Old Testament, which is everything before Jesus, and we have the New Testament, which is Jesus and then after with the church. And the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament is written in Greek. And we have since then translated them into English. And there are a bunch of different translations out there. If you are new to the church scene and you are looking for, I want an exact quotation. I want whatever the text said, I want that to come out in my Bible. If that's what you're looking for, go get the New American Standard, or you can download it on YouVersion for free. The New American Standard, whatever it says in the original language is what they put out there in the text. I personally like the NIV, the New International Version. The New International Version takes, for the most part, what they say, but it kind of rearranges some things based off the meaning. So if for example, if I said to you guys, you know what, man, my kids are driving me up the wall. Well, 2,000 years from now, maybe that's not a phrase that they would know. And so if they read that on my blog or they read that on Twitter and they would say, what, his kids were making him get into a car and drive up the wall? What, how did he do this? And the New American Standard would say, Rob's kids were driving him up a wall. The NIV would say, Rob's kids are driving him crazy. It's the exact same idea. Most of the wording is the same, but they're explaining a phrase that we wouldn't get based off of our context today. And that's why I really like the NIV. There is a paraphrase out there, though, called the Message. And I don't memorize the Message. This is not one that I quote, but what I use the Message for is whenever I read a tough text or a text that I'm really familiar with, either or, I like to go to the Message because it's a paraphrase. They've taken the ideas of it and they turn it into a modern translation into something that we can understand. And look at how the Message paraphrases Jesus' words. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand, baby. I added the baby. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. I don't know if you caught Jesus' plan, God's plan, but I love the wording of the message, that God is not a secret to be kept. That if you are a Christian, if you're a believer of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, then you are the light of the world, and you are to live your good deeds in front of other people so that they say you're awesome? No. So that they are turned to your heavenly Father and believe that he is awesome. We are to shine bright in the world. So often, people will send me an email and they'll say, I just don't understand why there's so much trouble and so many bad things in the world. Where is God? What is God's plan? How is God working through this? Not too long ago, a churchgoer had a neighbor who had, and I won't go into the details because I know it messes with some of you, but it was an awful situation that happened with their little kid. There was abuse involved and it was horrific. And this neighbor is asking, where was God? Where was God in the midst of this? And I just want to turn and, with all due respect, say, you know what? God's plan is that Christians are the light of the world. And so I want to know, where were the Christians for this little kid? Where were the Christians in the neighborhood? In fact, whenever I see problems in the world, wherever I see war and protests and issues and suffering, I want to know, where are the Christians? Why? What was Jesus' plan for the world? He is the light of the world. You follow him, guess what? You become the light of the world. God's plan. God's plan is that you would shine. And that you would shine in front of people in a way that doesn't say, hey, I'm awesome, but in a way that opens up your house to others, that opens up your life to others, that says, hey, you know what? I know you've been hurt. I know you have a lot of doubts. I know you are living with no hope. But hey, watch as I go through this journey because I have some hope. I found the light of the world. If you grew up in church like I did, then you probably were inundated with these cute little kids songs that helped you to remember everything in the Bible. If you didn't grow up in church and you're looking to learn the Bible, go get like a kid's CD because they are probably incredibly cheesy, but they really help you memorize a lot of the Bible. And growing up in the church, there was a song that I used to always sing as a kid, and the song had motions. All the good kid songs in the 80s had motions. And the song simply said, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And the next part had more motion, said, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Third verse was my absolute favorite. Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. It is so important that we don't just keep this as a kid's song, that we grow up living this. Why? Because we are the light of the world. Why are we the light of the world? Because Jesus is living in us, and there is a world that is dying without hope and is looking for some hope. And where is God? He's in the local church and through the local church. A famous quote has come out from a pastor in Chicago. His name is Bill Hybels, and Bill Hybels says this, the local church is the hope of the world. If you're looking for hope today, it can be found in and through the local church. Why? Because the local church and Christians have found Jesus and are following Jesus and are therefore, we become the light of the world. And so today we are concluding a series, and this series is about our core values. Specifically, we're breaking down our mission statement. The Next Level Church's mission statement, if you're new to the church, our mission statement is simply this: love Jesus, love people, make a difference. And today we're going to conclude with a third part, but before we conclude, I want to rewind and make sure you guys were paying attention. I'm going to actually test you. I'm going to quiz you a little bit. 2 weeks ago, we kicked off the series by looking at the first part of our mission statement, which was love Jesus. And each week in this series, we are breaking it down. How are we going to do our mission statement? By two core values. And so week one, it was love Jesus, and there were two core values that are going to help us as a church fulfill this. I know it was 2 weeks ago. I'm going to test you, though. Anyone know the two core values that help us love Jesus? Bam, there's one. See God and the rest will follow. Wrong. Yeah. Authenticity matters. I heard it. Awesome. All right, great. That's it. Give yourselves a hand. That was awesome. That was 2 weeks ago. All right, seek God and the rest will follow. And the second one's authenticity matters. If you missed the talk, let me give you a synopsis. We as a church want to love Jesus. We want to be all about Jesus. And the way that we are going to do that is by these two core values. Number one, seek God and the rest will follow. We really do believe that when you seek God, everything else lines up after it. And so as a church, we are called to seek God first. And I challenged you 2 weeks ago to get into the Bible, to start praying, spend some time with God first thing in the morning. Open up your calendar and look, what do I have to do today? And pray through your calendar. I've got this meeting. I've got this going on with my family. Pray through your calendar. Seek God first and watch as the rest will follow. Watch as he lines things up. Does it mean your life is going to be perfect? No, but watch. Everything else follows when you seek God first. But God wants us to seek him authentically. What does that mean? Real. We don't want to pretend like we've got all the answers. We're not going to pretend like we're perfect. We're going to come to God authentically and say, hey, God, you know what? I am a lazy human being. I don't even want to spend time with you right now. Would you change my heart and turn it to where I would desire to spend time with you? God, I'm not even struggling with sin. I'm diving in the sin pool, and I love it. Would you change my heart? Would you help convict me? God, I haven't been doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Would you move in me? God, I've been feeling a little bit bored with you. Would you change me? We are going to authentically, in a real way, approach God. We are going to seek God first, and the rest will follow. And that led to last week. And last week, the part of our mission statement we broke down was love people. And there were two core values that we talked about last week. And I'll test you on this. Does anyone remember the two core values that are going to help us love people? Yes, yes. Bam, bam. Thank you. That was awesome. Give you up. That was great. Yeah. We believe as a church that you cannot do life alone, that God has wired you to need other people. And if this is your first time here, you haven't been in a few weeks, you might have noticed there's a big Lego out in the lobby. The big Lego represents that we were created, we are Legos. We may be pretty good by ourselves, but one Lego by itself is incomplete. It was meant to be a part of a bigger story, and you play a huge part in the story of God. And when you're not playing your part, we as a church suffer. And when you're not playing your part, you suffer, because you were made to be with other people. We talked about that last week, and so this week then we are going to talk about the third part, which is make a difference. But before we get there, I want to read to you this quote by Bill Hybels, because I think it was so incredible. He says, "There is nothing like the local church when it's working right. Its beauty is indescribable. Its power is breathtaking. Its potential is unlimited. It comforts the grieving and heals the broken in the context of community. It builds bridges to seekers and opens its arms to the forgotten, the downtrodden and the disillusioned. It breaks the chains of addictions, frees the oppressed, and offers belonging to the marginalized of this world. The potential of the local church is almost more than I can grasp." Why? Because the local church is the hope of the world. And even though we're in a series about our core values and how we as a church are going to do this, I want to make sure that you hear something. When I say that the local church is not the hope of the world, I'm not saying Next Level Church is the hope of the world. I'm saying the church as a whole. The church as a whole. We need other churches. We need other Christians. Why? Because there's a lot of darkness in the world and we cannot do it on our own. But God is calling us to bring some light to the darkness. I love what Charles Spurgeon says. He says, "As Christ was the world's hope, so is the church the world's hope. And she must take up the charge as if there were not another." What would happen if Christians took up the charge and didn't say, "Oh, well, God's got this. God's got it taken care of. I'm sure God has a plan." What would happen if Christians embraced the fact that God's plan is you? You are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill. You are to bring hope to the hopeless. So today what we're going to do is we're going to break down the last part of our mission statement. Our mission statement is love Jesus, love people. The last part is make a difference. And we're going to do this by talking about two core values, but I actually want to kind of explain to you how we got to the make a difference part. We got to the make a difference part. We are a church plant. We're a little over 2 years old. And being a church plant, we had to create everything. We had to create systems. We had to create what programs we were going to do, what we weren't going to do. We had to create forms. We had to create everything to make this thing a legit church. And for the first couple weeks of it, I didn't have any help. I didn't have a staff. I didn't have a lot of people to bounce ideas on. And I had to come up with a name and make it legal and send out the paperwork. And so I chose Next Level not because God spoke it to me, but because the government was forcing me to pick a name in order for us to be a church. And I thought Next Level sounded pretty good. I needed to get this thing done. So I sent them the form. And then I started thinking, okay, well, who are we going to be as a church? What is going to be our mission? And I knew our mission was going to be love Jesus and love people. It was the third part that I kind of wrestled with. And originally, what I had written out as our mission statement was love Jesus, love people, do something. That was our original mission statement. But we had this interest meeting coming up during the first week of our existence, and I didn't know how many people were going to come. I didn't know if it was going to be 10 people or 20 people. We ended up having 96 people show up at this interest meeting. And at this interest meeting, though, I wanted to unleash, this is who we are. This is our vision. If you feel like God might be calling you to start a church, you need to know what we're all about. And this is us. Love Jesus, love people. And I wanted to say, do something. But I wanted to throw that out there to just at least one other opinion to make sure this was it. Because once you say it, it kind of becomes official. And so I went over to my buddy Dan Peter's house, and I brought to him our bylaws. It was just our whole church, our structure, everything. And on it had the mission statement. I said, hey, man, I'm going to unleash this weekend. Would you give me your opinion of it? And he said, I hate it. Specifically, he hated the do something. And I was like, well, what, why do you hate that? Like, I don't want us to be a church that just sits around and says, yeah, we love Jesus. Yeah, we love people, but we're not doing anything. Like, I want us to get out in the community. I'm all about us doing something. And he said, if you're all about us doing something, you need to tell us what to do, because that is so vague. Do something. What does that mean? So he convinced me, and he came up with a better idea. Make a difference. Love Jesus. Love people. Make a difference. Why? Why is it so important for us as a church to go out into the community and make a difference? Because we are the light of the world. And if we sit in church happy with a smile on our face, but never get out in the community and make a difference, then there's a whole bunch of people that are not seeing that God is active and God is alive and God does answer prayer and he is still moving in the world. How? Through the local church. So we as a church are going to embrace making a difference. And we have two core values. And I want to spend just a few seconds talking about what these two core values are, how they're going to help us make a difference. The fifth and sixth core value, number one, is it's God's kingdom, not ours. It's God's kingdom, not ours. This is a core value because I believe one of the challenges that Jesus gave to us was that we are called to bring heaven to earth. One of Jesus' disciples, his followers, came up to him one time and said, hey, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? All these other guys know how to pray. Would you teach us how to pray? And Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is Jesus' mission for us? Is it to just get saved, to become a Christian, to say a prayer, and then live a decent life and die and go to heaven? No. Jesus' calling for Christians is to bring heaven on earth. And so as Christians, it is really easy for us to forget that we are called to do something for God, and it's very easy for us to get comfortable here and to build our kingdom here. What does it look like to build your kingdom? Well, you spend all your money on yourself. You spend all your time thinking about yourself. You spend all your resources on yourself and on your family. And Jesus would say, hey, you know what? I've given you things. I've given you talents. I've given you resources. I've given you a brain to think. And it is not just to make you famous. If I've called you to be a Christian, I've given you these things to build my kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So one of our core values is it's God's kingdom, not ours. We want to remind ourselves that. How are we going to make a difference? Well, we're going to make a difference because we're not just going to sit here and say, you know what? I'm pretty comfortable. We got AC. It's actually working this week. It feels good in our church. We're pretty comfortable being here, so we're not going to get our hands dirty and go out and make a difference. No, we're going to remind ourselves that this is God's kingdom. It's not ours. It's not about my name. It's not about your name. It is about building the name of Jesus. It's about being a light in the world. It is God's kingdom, not ours. And the final core value that's going to help us make a difference is this: become owners, not spectators. Now, I developed this one by simply going to a sporting event. I went to a sporting event one time, and I sat way up in the cheap seats. And it was an amazing experience. It was a great game. It was a basketball game. But I noticed something. There was a lot different interaction between those of us that were spectators and fans and those that actually were owners in the game. The players had a different mindset than me way up in the top of the stands. And those that owned the property, owned the team, they had a different mindset than me as a spectator. As a spectator, if there was trash on the ground, I just walked over it because it was someone else's job to pick it up. In fact, lots of people just threw their trash everywhere on the ground and they didn't care. They were spectators. They were fans. As a spectator, you love to come and cheer when things are going great. But when things are going bad with your team, you leave. And I've been at multiple sporting events with when the fourth quarter comes, if there's a big gap in the score and the home team is leaving, people just flood out the stadium. They want to be a part of a winner, but if you're a loser, I don't have anything to do with you. Spectators. But there's a difference between being a spectator and being an owner. And one of our core values is that we want to be owners, not spectators. And this is why at Next Level Church, whenever you join one of our volunteer teams, we give you this key. This key is just a symbol. This key is a cool-looking key. It has a little chain. It says Next Level on it. This key opens absolutely no doors in this building. It is just symbolic. And it is symbolic that when this is your church, when you're a part of this team and this body of believers, that you are going to be an owner. You get a key. When you own something, you get a key. When you own your car, they give you a key. When you own your house, they give you a key. When this is your church, when this is where God has called you to make a difference, we're going to give you a key. Why? Because we don't want you just sitting around spectating. I love that some of you come to church, but it is time for some of you to stop coming to church once a month and start coming every week and then getting plugged in. You are called to do more than spectate. You are called to make a difference in the world. You are the light of the world. And I really do believe with all my heart that God has called us, the church, the local church, Christians, to be the hope of the world. And I think we as a church are doing that. We strive every single month to make a difference. We do this through a program that we just simply call Make a Difference. If you're new here, maybe you've missed it. Maybe you haven't noticed that we do something different every month. But the idea came for this, that as the church, we can get very focused on what we have to do as a church. It is crazy how frequently Sundays come. They come every week. And no matter how great of a church service we have on Sunday, we have to go back to work on Monday and plan another one. And I always have to write a sermon. And there's always small group curriculum to make. And there's always volunteers to train and new volunteers to recruit. There's always something to do. And I've been in the local church since I was 18 years old. And what I found is that when you're in the local church, when you're kind of consumed with being a part of this thing, you can go a long period of time without actually getting out in the community and making a difference. So we said at the very beginning of our church, we are not going to be a church that is just happy with getting fat and happy and fed ourselves. We are going to be a church that is going to go out into the community. And so once a month, we partner with a local or a global organization, and we simply ask them, what can we do? What do you need us to do? And this isn't so we can pat ourselves on the back. This isn't so we can say, look how awesome we are. No, this is because we are the light of the world, and this is the bare minimum for our church to do. This is the bare minimum. This is so that if we can say we've gotten so busy with everything else in this world, we can look back at the end of the year and say, you know what? We at least did 12 things. That spit went really far. I'm really sorry about that. As a church, we want to look back and say, you know what? I hope we did a lot more. I hope that you are an owner and that you don't say, oh, you know what? This month we're helping out the Letitia house and I went shopping at Target and bought something. So I don't need to go help the homeless, or I don't need to help my neighbor, or I don't need to help that kid that is struggling. No. I want us to say, hey, as a bare minimum, we're going to set the example by once a month partnering with something. We're going to try to do something. We're going to try to make a difference. Sometimes it's by praying. Sometimes it's by donating your time. Sometimes it's by donating your resources. But we are going to try to make, we're going to try to make a difference. Why? Because I really believe that the local church is the hope of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And when we know Jesus, we become the light of the world. And there is a world that is in darkness that is desperately looking for what we have. And we can never get so comfortable that we love what we have in here that we forget to go make a difference out there. I really do believe that the church is the hope of the world, but there are a lot of people who look at the flaws and the imperfections of the church, and they would say, hey, it's just messed up. The church has done a lot of harm. The church has done a lot of damage, and I saw a video not too long ago that I think sums up perfectly what we are called to do, and I believe in this video with all my heart. I want to show you this as we end today. Check this out.
The local church is the hope of the world? No, as a matter of fact, God no longer dwells here. I don't believe that joy is a possibility, that our lives are better lived in community, and that we are called to love each other radically. The truth is, the church is on the brink of extinction. I refuse to believe that we are part of a story larger than our own, and we have been changed to bring change. Don't be fooled. Poverty is too overwhelming. Racism can't be overcome, and evil will never be defeated. It's impossible for me to believe things will get better. In the future, it will be evident God can't help, and you're wrong if you believe God can. I am convinced that you can't turn things around. I would be lying if I said God cares. But you should know I believe exactly the opposite. God cares. I would be lying if I said that you can't turn things around. I am convinced God can, and you're wrong if you believe God can't help. In the future, it will be evident that things will get better. It's impossible for me to believe evil will never be defeated, racism can't be overcome, and poverty is too overwhelming. Don't be fooled. We have been changed to bring change, and we are part of a story larger than our own. I refuse to believe that the church is on the brink of extinction. The truth is that we are called to love each other radically, that our lives are better lived in community, and that joy is a possibility. I don't believe God no longer dwells here. No. As a matter of fact, the local church is the hope of the world.
I do believe that the local church is the hope of the world. And I believe that together we can make a difference. So today as we close, what we're going to do is our band is going to sing a song over us that I think is really more of a prayer than even a song. But it is a song that is what we are all about. It's about building Jesus' kingdom here. And as we sing this song over you guys, I want to challenge you to be thinking about how can you make a difference? Who do you know that needs the light of God? As we leave then here today, you're going to be handed a little rubber band. And the little rubber band is going to signify how you play a part in being the light of the world. Specifically, what you're going to do is you're going to take that rubber band down the hallway. And I don't know if you saw it or not, but there is a new part of our church. It is a Make a Difference wall. It is to remind first-time guests and remind those that call this our church that we are called to make a difference. And that Make a Difference is made out of rubber bands on nails. And you are going to take your rubber band and you are going to put it on the part that says Make a Difference. And you're going to signify that, hey, I'm a part of this thing. I'm called to be a light in the world. And then from every week, as long as God calls you to be a part of this church, you can look at that thing and say, hey, there I am. I'm a part of this thing. I am called to be the light of the world, to be the hope the world is looking for. So I want to pray for us, and then the band's going to come and sing over us. And I want you to be praying and thinking about how you can be moved to make a difference for God. God, thank you so much for your love for us. And God, thank you that you do have a plan. You haven't ignored us. You haven't said that you're not going to do anything, God. You've said that we are the light of the world. God, it is our calling. It is our honor to go out of here and to make a difference for you. And so, God, today I just ask that you would spur something in us, that we would never be satisfied with a holy huddle, that we would never be satisfied with the fact that we've said a prayer, that we may know you, that we have a church building, that we have air conditioning, God, that we would constantly be on the lookout for how we can bring hope to the world. And this isn't a hope built on our own strength, on our own understanding. It is a hope that is only through Jesus. And God, I just ask in Jesus' name that you would move in our hearts, that you would soften our hearts, that we would care more about other people than we care about ourselves. And I ask, God, that you would do something, that this would be a moment where we could move ahead, where we could be a church that is all about building your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. God, thank you for how you're moving. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.